This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss. Standard for weight loss in D.C. area because it works. Visit EMP180.com and you can get empowered. All right, join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline as he does every Friday as best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein. He's brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons at GolfdomGolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf on and off the course. Golfdom, live the game.
John, as we hear Billy Joel in the background, will you be attending his concert at Oriole Park at Camden Yards this summer? First ever concert held there in its long and storied history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, my wife and I have discussed it, and her feeling is, because she loves Billy Joel too, but her feeling is, if I'm willing to pay for a limo and can get good tickets, she's willing to go.
All right, that works.
So, what about just
an Uber?
First, I have to find out if I can get good tickets, and then we'll discuss the rest of it afterwards. But it's definitely a possibility.
What about just an Uber? It has to be a limo.
Well, we have a limo connection.
Well, she said she wants because she's right about this. You know, there's going to be traffic coming out, no matter how good our parking might be. And so she's like, if we're going to have to sit in traffic getting out of there at the end of a long night, I want to sit in the back of a comfortable car and drink wine.
My kind of girl, John.
It's a great move by her. I applaud
definitely
that.
My kind of girl.
Yeah. I love it.
Perfect. So, you know, it's funny. Right before we had you on, I said, I guess we're going to talk more about the games with John. I'm sick of talking about the games. I'm ready for the games to be played. I don't know how you feel.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that because one of my CBS minutes this morning is on just that.
Yeah.
That one of the problems as the number of teams playing dwindles in the NFL playoffs is, you know, there's just not that much to talk about when there's only two games, and then there's the 2 weeks of waiting for the Super Bowl with only one game, and then you're really sick of people talking about it. And it's just, you know, we already know that the Patriots are amazing because they're in the conference championship every year. We already know that Patrick Mahomes is a phenom. We already know that Drew Brees is having an amazing year at the age of 40. And we already know that the Rams are up and coming under a young coach with a young quarterback. I mean, how many different times can you say that, and how many different combinations for outstanding quarterbacks playing young versus old in both games? Great. Let's tee it up and play. I agree.
I find myself, you know, I root for the old guys. You know, as I've become older, I start rooting for the old guys. I don't even like Tom Brady. I mean, I don't dislike him, but he's an older guy, so I'm going to root for the old guy. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think probably a lot of people take that approach. I think Mahomes is a really appealing character as a person. I don't know him, but I feel as if I know him a little bit because I spent a lot of time talking to Alex Smith about him last year when Alex was kind of tutoring and mentoring him. I saw somebody on Yahoo tweeting the other day that they had the inside story of how Patrick Mahomes mentored Alex Smith, and it took all my self-control not to tweet back and say that story is in quarterback if you really want to know about it. But I think he's an appealing character. He's the son of a major league pitcher. But I understand the notion of rooting for the older guys, and I don't think Brady's a particularly likable figure, but you sure as heck have to respect him as arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. I think he probably is. And Drew Brees is, you know, he's a Hall of Famer. You got to respect who he is too. Plus, Brees is different because what he did for the city of New Orleans in the wake of Katrina, in addition to being a hell of a player, is a remarkable story in itself.
I know Alex was generous with his time and, you know, so gracious knowing what was going to happen there with the way he treated Pat, but did he like him? Did he like Mahomes?
Yes, he did, actually, very much. he did like him, and in fact, he and his wife, Elizabeth, had Mahomes and his wife over to dinner one night a week just because they enjoyed each other's company. Hmm. So in addition to the work together. They socialize together. Yeah, he thinks Mahomes is a great kid.
That's great. All right, what else? We've knocked out the games.
Hey, how about France? Is it Tiafo or Tiafo?
Tiafo, yeah.
How about him? He's got one more match until he possibly plays Nadal at the Aussie. That's pretty cool.
If Nadal gets there, because you never know when Nadal's going to have to pull up with a back injury or something. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, he had a hell of a win last night. I didn't see it, but you know, he wins in five sets. And the knock on him early, because his ability is obviously there, but the early knock on him was his toughness in five-set matches. He lost a couple of five-setters in majors in the first couple of years he was playing in them. And people I know in tennis, he's got great talent, but is he tough enough? And remember, people talk about him being 20. 20's not that old for a tennis, not that young for a tennis player. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, John McEnroe won his first major when he was 19. Andy Roddick won the U.S. Open when he was 21. Never won another major, but he did. So Tiafoe's sort of at the point now where he's either going to take off and become a star, or he's going to be one of those grinders who's, you know, ranked in the 20s, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, you can make a lot of money that way. But is he going to become the next American guy? And we've been waiting a long time for the next American guy. Roddick won the U.S. Open in 2003. No Americans won a major since then. Roddick was in the Wimbledon final in 2009, and no American's been in the final of a major since then. It's been a long drought for American male tennis. Could Tiafoe? There's a group of young Americans, Taylor Fritz, who got beat by Federer, a couple other guys coming along now who people think have the potential to be major players in major championships. Tiafoe is certainly one of them. And, of course, being a local guy from College Park, people around here should have a special interest in him.
Yeah. Plays Dimitrov next, who's the 20 seed.
Dimitrov's good. That'll be a good test for him.
Yeah, really good.
John, should be an emotional night down in D.C. as the Islanders, the team you root for, comes to town to take on the Capitals. The Islanders are surging 1-3 straight. They're just 1 point out of first place. The Caps are sitting there with 59 points. The Islanders with 58. Barry Trotz returns to the scene of winning the Stanley Cup. The emotions are going to be running high down at
Capital
One tonight.
By the way, John, let me give you a little betting angle. The Islanders have played 4 games in 6 days. They're going to be played last night. Going to be a little gassed.
Yeah, and the Caps are rested, and the Caps need a win because they haven't been playing well lately. They were embarrassed in Nashville Tuesday night. We'll see if Braden Holtby can go. I don't think there's any update on his eye yet, is there?
I don't think so.
It'll be nice because the Caps are going to do this right. They're going to do a video tribute. I think there were some people who were upset that when they did the video prior to raising the banner on opening night, Trotz didn't get mentioned. I mean, how is that possible, for goodness sake? And I think they understand that they made a mistake, and they're going to do a video tribute. I was amused to see Trotz say, "I don't deserve it. I didn't coach there long enough." Well, he coached there for the one thing that really mattered, the winning of a Stanley Cup. And you're right, the Islanders have been playing very well. They've won 11 out of 13, and they're getting very good goaltending from both their goalies. You're right, Jason, they are coming in a little bit tired, I would think, playing last night, having to travel down here today, or maybe they traveled last night, probably did, and the Caps are rested. So it'll be a tough out for the Islanders tonight, but they've had a remarkable season given that they lost John Tavares from a team that did not make the playoffs last year, and they've been playing better than they did with Tavares. That's a tribute to Trotz, who's really improved their defense with the way, you know, with his system and with the respect he has of the players, clearly. They've picked up some players in the offseason who aren't great players but have made them better. Leonard is a perfect example. He was a guy who looked like he was going to be out of hockey. He had all sorts of he had drug issues. He had addiction issues. Nobody would touch him. The Islanders signed him, and he's been terrific.
I know what you're going to be doing tomorrow night at 6 o'clock.
No, you don't.
Yep.
You actually don't know what I'll be doing tomorrow night.
Interesting.
You're going to watch Duke, Virginia.
I will not be watching Duke, Virginia at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. I will tape it because I have two TV games tomorrow. I've got Albany UMBC at 1 o'clock, and then I hope it won't snow too much because I got to get in my car and go straight to Delaware to do the Delaware Towson game, which will be on NBC Sports Washington Plus, I guess it would be called now.
You love Martin Inglesby.
Tomorrow night.
You love Martin Inglesby.
He loves multiple revenue streams.
I like Martin Inglesby. There you go. Yeah. I love multiple revenue streams.
He loves cash more.
That's well put.
He loves cash more.
That's exactly right.
Of course you do.
Yeah, yeah.
But by the way, I know the game's in Cameron. Virginia won in Cameron last year. But without Trey Jones playing, I'll be shocked if Duke wins that game. Now,
yeah, he's good.
Dean Smith used to say you can always play one great game without a key player. Mike Krzyzewski's at his best when he faces some kind of adversity. Trey Jones is the most important player on the Duke team. Zion Williamson gets all the attention. They aren't winning anything in March without Trey Jones. He's the first real point guard they've had since his brother in 2015 when they won the national title. Mm-hmm. He's terrific. He doesn't turn the ball over. He creates for the other guys. He's the best on-the-ball defender point guard they've had since Tommy Amaker, which is going back a ways. And without him, though, they're not the same team.
I heard Greenberg make a great point because Duke lost Zion Williamson in the Florida State game.
And they won.
And they won, and they lost to Syracuse at home without Trey Jones.
Exactly right. And that's exactly right. I mean, Zion Williams is a great player. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. But they played the entire second half without him on the road against a very good Florida State team and pulled the game out. They played the last 39 minutes, including overtime, without Trey Jones against a middling Syracuse team that, you know, may sneak into the tournament the way Boeheim seems to do it every year nowadays, but lost without Trey Jones. And that's exactly right.
All right. Be safe this weekend in your travels. Call some good
Thank
games.
Thank you, fellas.
We'll
I appreciate it.
All right,
and I don't know if you say this, but let's say happy Martin Luther King Day on Monday because it's certainly worthy of note. And by the way, Monday, if anybody wants to see a good basketball game, Harvard playing at Howard, 1:00.
You can tell me about it next week.
I knew you'd say that, Jason. I knew you'd say that. You're such a snob.
He is. He's a big game snob.
Yeah. All right. See you, buddy.
Thank you.
See you guys.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, I would have to get the Cliff's Notes version from John as well on that game.
Is Howard Hoops any good this year?
I don't know. I don't follow Howard. Pedro and Deportes.
Harvard would always be solid. But.
Where's Juan Dixon coaching?
He's coaching at Coppin State.
Coppin, yeah. I don't know who's
They're
coaching.
They're horrible when he took over, right?
I think they might be doing better with him, though. I could be wrong. Don't bet on that.
Yeah,
don't bet on that knowledge.
All right, we won't. We've got Joe B. joining us at 8. We will get back to the Washington Capitals' big one against the Islanders tonight. But next, we'll mix it up. We'll open up the entertainment page here on the Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Couple reminders. Tomorrow you can join me at the Gold's Gym in Chantilly Plaza for their winter warm-up. Be there from noon till 2. Then on Sunday, 3 of us, me, Cakes, and Bish, will be at the Sportsbook Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. We'll be hanging out from 1 to 3, placing some wagers, have a little Q&A, having some drinks, getting ready for the AFC and NFC Championship games.
Right.
So we hope you can join us this weekend. Tomorrow, again, Gold's Gym in Chantilly Plaza, noon to 2, and then Sunday, 1 to 3 at the one and only Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino.
I'll have to put Hollywood Casino in my ways over the weekend. Figure out how to get there.
Very easy to get to.
I haven't been there in quite a while.
Route 7 to Route 9. Just take 9.
How far is it from your house?
35 minutes, probably, door to door.
That's actually the closest casino by far to your house.
It'll be an hour and 35 for you.
Shoot up 270.
That's okay. It's not a problem.
It won't be an hour.
I will make it
from my house. I think I got there in like 50.
I'll make it in under an hour.
On a Sunday, it'll be fine.
That's probably pushing it.
Hour and 5 minutes.
I think that's probably accurate.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
All right, let's open up the entertainment page, touch on the Hollywood, the music scene, get the latest celebrity gossip.
All right, boys. This is probably the least surprising EP story in maybe ever.
Okay.
Maybe a decade. Shocker, Pornhub reports a spike in DC porn viewership during government shutdown.
Well, of course.
What else are you going to do?
It's all the
sense
in the
world. Is anybody surprised?
I mean, what, you got 800,000 furloughed workers just chilling?
Yeah, they don't know what to do. Their hands.
Of course there's going to be a huge spike. The data was compiled from January 7th to January 11th.
Time apparently isn't the only thing on their hands.
Exactly, Cakes.
Something else, too.
Nice zing, Cakes.
Thank you.
Viewership is up more than 6% in the district.
That's nothing, 6%.
Compared to the pre-shutdown, it's enough to register a change.
If your pay increased by 6%, you'd be sized.
I would be.
you would be.
6% is sizable.
Huge spike in Pornhub viewership during the shutdown.
What's kind of surprising to me is that the local news companies are all reporting
they
on
this.
They
are reporting
like
this?
Fox 5, WSA.
And they're saying Pornhub.
Yeah, yeah. And people in the comments are like, why are you reporting this? Is this news? Is this appropriate?
Dude, I would love kids if somebody could get like all of the serious anchors and we could put that all to compile that all together, you know, in like a 30-second or 40-second montage.
We have one of them right here.
AFO junkies! Red tube is much better. All right, what about Eskimo Tube?
I mean, he's already weighed in.
Can we get Steve Shenevy? Because Steve would probably do it. Give a breakdown of Red Tube.
He was tweeting it.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was one of the ones who was retweeting the story.
I'm sure he's contributed to it, too.
Yes, he has.
To the surge.
Oh, cheeseburger in paradise.
I would love to get a compilation audio, though, of like, no, not Steve. I say Steve because he's a friend of ours. But like a
compilation.
Real serious.
Yeah, that's the compilation you want?
Yeah, well, yeah.
When you talk porno and compilation, that's the last thing I think of.
Right. I'm not big into compilations, though, to be honest with you. Do you like compilations?
It's a nice change up.
When I used to go through
I don't like the music behind them.
When I used to go through the swinging doors, you know, which thank God we don't have to do that in 2019. But back in the 90s, you know, and maybe even the early 2000s,
yeah,
you know, if you wanted to consume some adult content, you'd have to go to one of those stores with the soap, you know, writ on the windows.
Right.
You know, it's a $5.99
video movie liquidators.
Right. But you could get the colossal combo.
Right.
You know, you could get like an 8-hour tape.
Very shameful visits, too, by the way.
Terrible.
It was definitely
you could get like
2000s.
Two or three, like 8-hour tapes all bunched together for like $20.
Right.
I mean, you're really getting a good bang for your buck, Cakes.
It's definitely in the early 2000s because we were on HFS from roughly 2002
when we had the Great American Porn Swap.
We did the second one at HFS. The first one was at night, was our. Right. That one was a smashing success.
We got away
we
with
had
that.
Like 50 guys show up. And the whole thing was one man's
smash.
Trash is another man's treasure.
Could you imagine pitching that in 2019?
I mean, we probably had 100 VHS tapes in the bin, and people would just bring them in. They would read their and then they would pull
somebody
else out.
There were people outraged because we were on in Baltimore. I remember they were protesting. They were protesting our porn swap.
That was the last one. When we got to the second one because we had TV coverage.
They did not like it.
They didn't like it. But we thought it was brilliant because everybody knows you get tired of watching the same adult content over and over, so you just swap it out.
You know what they say? Genius is often mocked.
Didn't you talk about your move? I mean, you've talked about it many times. You used to blindfold yourself.
You did the Bird Box challenge before it was a thing.
Exactly. I kind of created Bird Box.
You did.
I would get my JanSport out, and you know, if I looked at the title of the tape, I knew exactly. I knew all the scenes.
Right.
And,
like, so when
the order.
I
everything.
Didn't even know the color. If I knew the color of the tape, because I was getting tapes that were like red.
Yeah, the tapes are not all black.
Yeah, no. But the ones I was getting, I was sometimes
you'd be like, oh, this is up and comers. Number 75.
Right. So I'd have to cover my eyes, dip my hand in the JanSport, not look, feel for the VCR, try to get it in, push it in, and enter it. And that's how I could be surprised.
Couldn't you have just opened your eyes and put the tape behind your back? You had to actually feel for the VCR at that point.
Well, I mean, I may have done some sort of version of that, but I do remember. Yeah, you couldn't. Yeah, I guess you could have done
but
that.
But then would you have been salty if it wasn't a good scene, or you would just stick with that scene?
Sometimes you would still be better and swap it out.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, be disappointed.
Yeah.
And the fast forward. Oh, my God, the old school fast forward of tape. The worst.
Brutal.
Yeah, that's why I'm so critical to start well.
Our kids nowadays.
Yeah. Oh, the kids spoiled. Today, they have no idea.
I mean, we used to just do Scramble. We used to with Spice Channel when that first came out.
Yeah.
You would try and get, you know, put it on channel 4 or channel 2 and get
right.
a scramble.
Watch
thing.
It between wavy
you,
lines.
You pray for a little sound.
Yeah, you see a boobie.
Audio. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I remember. Did your family ever have
a laptop?
You had Super TV.
Super TV. Yeah.
Did that have adult content?
Yes. But you know what else my family had on it? A lock.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Right. You never figured out how
to. Because they had three boys in the house.
You never figured out how to crack that code?
No, not really. Yeah. That lock was cakes proof.
I did the lock. I did the lock on mine just because sometimes the captions, like if you just flip through the channels and you go through the pay per views. It'll have the porn titles right there.
Yeah, the titles are a show.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Titles are ridiculous.
Yeah. Eric, didn't you? So I went on it because, you know, we order pay-per-view movies on demand and stuff like that. And you'll sometimes you hit the channel right next to it. You see, whatever, Kim Kardashian sex tape. And I'm like, I don't want my kid to see that.
A lot of times, way more descriptive than that.
Right. I know. So I hit the block. And it's so annoying because it started blocking, like, R movies on... You saw I couldn't see with the description of like HBO movies.
Gotcha. Two blocks today.
What was your question, Valdez?
Didn't you order Playboy magazine and then you would try to?
I ordered the Playboy Channel at my parents' house.
And then you tried to like get the bill before.
Yes, I failed. And my mom was like, "How come all the guys are coming over every night at 7 p.m.?" Because back then,
you're smart enough.
The Playboy Channel wouldn't come on during the day. They wouldn't turn it on until 7 p.m. And all of a sudden, like, all the neighbor guys were coming over the house every night at 7.
Oh, Mom, we're just going to watch the game.
It's a hurting party.
So that's back when the cable bill was, like, $29.
Or $30.
Were you guys
doing
some skiing?
No skiing.
No skiing parties.
No.
What did your mom say, like, when she saw the bill?
Well, it's really happy. Skiing with
the Playboy Channel.
I do remember.
$5 or
apparently
whatever.
Apparently, she told, like, my extended family, because when I saw my Uncle Ronnie... In the summer, he was breaking my balls about it. And I was like, oh,
probably wanted
on,
an invitation.
Huh?
Yeah, like, scores, Uncle Scores Van Ronnie.
She was telling,
funny money.
Mom probably's like, why is Nick knocking on the door? Nick's never walked up to your house.
Yeah, we had like four or five guys. Cakes, I'm sure you were over there.
I'm sure I made
you could have made a killing, charge up $5 a head.
No, I really thought I had the master plan. I'll just steal the bill.
Yeah.
And it was like $30. I'll pay the bill. No one will be any the wiser. Of course, I didn't catch the bill.
Right.
Busted.
Yeah. Happens.
But it was one glorious month. A lot of fun. All right, we got a lot of stories here about the situation. They say he's doing great.
I thought he's in jail.
I have three stories.
Three stories on Michael Sorrentino?
They say his wife Lauren tweeted that he's doing great. He'd like to thank all of his fans worldwide for the unbelievable outpouring of love and support. We speak every day, and he's doing great. Of course, he checked in. He's supposed to serve his 8-month sentence on tax evasion charges. They're saying,
will he lose some weight? Because I watched the Return of the Jersey Shore. He put on a lot of weight.
We don't have that 6-pack anymore, right? Those days are done.
I think he said the situation was under construction.
Yeah, right. They're saying that the prison that he's staying at has a secret cakes gay sex culture. And they say there's so much gay activity in that prison, just like most prisons. They say the average gay man there was gay before prison, but there are plenty of willing participants. If Mike wants to go down that road, he'll have many opportunities to do gay for the stay if he wants.
I'm gay.
That's what happens sometimes, Bish, when you go away.
Gay,
right?
Never know what's going to happen.
Go on vacation.
I've never heard the gay for the stay bit.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's a good line.
You could go that route if you want.
I guess you could.
Went
in Rome.
Sort of along those lines. This still fascinates me. I did a little research on this, believe it or not, yesterday. There are 4 states that still allow conjugal visits.
Really?
And California is one of those states. And I believe, is he in a California prison? Or is he in a Jersey prison?
I'm guessing Jersey.
It's what? Stupid. What's the name of the prison?
Jesus, I don't have it in front of me.
Who are you talking about? Sorrentino?
Yeah.
He's in a New York prison.
He's in a New York prison. But they're saying he is going to be banned from conjugal visits with his wife while he's in prison. But I was reading about it yesterday. There are still 4 states that allow the inmates to have weekends where they hit the skins.
Look how excited he gets talking about that.
You're in prison.
I don't know the answer.
It's like it's like me talking about parlays. Look how excited he gets.
Well, Jason,
he loves Costco.
You're in prison. They allow you to hit skins.
They hook it.
I don't know this.
They someone's got to do it.
Maybe, have you ever Googled that? You always talk about your Google searches.
Conjugal visits? Yeah.
You always say you've seen everything.
I'll do that, right? I never have.
Yeah, like a subgenre.
Do you think anybody did like an undercover? It would have to be an undercover camera, like where nobody knew.
Like a cell phone camera.
Yeah, that's the perfect genre for you. It'd be amateur.
Visit.
Bad lighting, I'm sure.
Right.
Music in the background. It checks all your boxes.
Yeah, I'm
sure I'm sure the girls attend, too.
I'm going to have to put in a really dirty word here on my Google search. I'm going to put in conjugal visit and F. Yeah. See what happens.
Dirty word.
All right, so they do have it in New York, and in New York it's referred to as the family reunion program.
Right. I think it's kind of how they slowly assimilate you back into culture or whatever.
Right.
They throw that reward out there.
Sure. Dude, they got to get that pent-up energy out.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's all kinds of fights.
Yeah, you got to get the evil out.
Dude, there's definitely a 13-minute video right here that looks
13 legit. Minutes?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good length.
That's way too long.
Oh, really? Dude, you just gave me a great search term.
6 minutes. Silly.
That's so great.
I know. Look how excited he is.
All right. So, anyway, that's that story. Steve-O recently admitted that he went on a coke bender with Mike Tyson, Cakes, back in 2005.
Yeah, me and Steve-O, we did some coke together.
Are you surprised at all?
Why would I be surprised by that?
Of course
they,
not.
He somehow found himself at
Cakes.
Cakes. I knew that was going to get dumb.
Let's hope so.
That's fine.
Tyson was, he said, quit sending me this S on Twitter because people were sending him the egg shot.
Oh,
this
really?
Tattoo?
Yeah. Oh, right.
It's kind of funny. Made me laugh for a second.
Anyway, you just use your imagination, Steve-O and Mike Tyson. Apparently, Mike Tyson opened the door at the party and said, "You got any coke?" And Steve-O said, "Yeah, I got a lot of it." Yeah. Let him in, and they went to town.
All right, coming up next, we will talk about the Caps' big game against the Islanders tonight. Barry Trotz returns as the head coach of the New York Islanders. Joe Beninati, voice of the Caps on NBC Sports Washington, next on The Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up in the next hour, Dave Paulson's going to join us, head coach at George Mason. Also, Skippy, Jason's co-host on the Big Fat Winners podcast. Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotlines, our pal Joe Beninati, voice of the Washington Capitals on NBC Sports Washington.
That's right.
Morning, Joe.
Joe B.
Fellas, JP, thank you for the polite golf clap. I appreciate it.
You're always welcome.
Couple of us.
Good to see you at the NBC Sports Washington get-together. I didn't talk to Joe B a bunch. I saw him a few times up near the bar. He was enjoying a glass of wine.
I know you talked to him a lot. We had a nice conversation.
That's good.
Just an occasional dabble there, Cakes. Just an occasional 3 or 4 time gad dabble. That's all. No, nothing too extravagant.
Right.
6 or 8. No. Never.
Right. Now, it was great to see you, Joe, really. Let's talk about the Caps. I was asking you, should we be worried? And I don't think we should be worried yet, right?
EB, worried's probably too strong of a word. How about concerned? You can be concerned with what you've seen in the last couple of weeks. It's not just a couple of games, and I tend to point towards the particular matchups. I don't think Nashville's a really good matchup, even right. when Washington is playing well. I just don't like the way they line up piece for piece against that team. It's just something that I see with my own eyes. But let's see how they respond with what's ahead. This team is really good, guys, at setting sort of mini goals for itself. And I think that they've reestablished that in the last couple of days off. I think they're focused now on let's make sure we have a winning record in the games that are remaining between now and the All-Star break. And they're really good about settling in on those things and harping in on those things. And it begins with a really tough opponent tonight and an emotional game tonight against the Islanders. And those usually bring the best out in the Caps.
Yeah, what is Capital One Arena going to be like when Barry Trotz comes in, won the Stanley Cup with the Washington Capitals, a huge accomplishment? Obviously for the franchise and for him, I would guess that it's just going to be a standing ovation for the guy. If people are going to Capital One and are booing Barry Trotz because he's now coaching the Islanders, I just don't understand if that happens. He's going to be warmly received by the Caps faithful, I would think.
I would imagine overwhelmingly so and deservedly so. And you'll see very aggressive stick taps on the boards from the Capitals bench. You know, those guys will watch the tribute, they'll listen to it, they'll tear up, they'll be emotional because those scenes are going to be so forever ingrained in their minds. And when they see them play back in the video and they know that the guy who was pushing the buttons is right across the boards from them there, they're going to definitely warmly receive him and then try to beat him. This is a big, big divisional game. But for that moment, it's one more chance to go back to the summer of 2018 that they'll never forget.
It sounds like Ovi and Trotz have really developed a bond, even though Trotz is now coaching the Islanders. Can you give us some insight on that, how that's developed?
Cakes, it was the first, it was Barry, one of Barry's first orders. You know, it was one of his first designs on making sure that the team was going to be all in, buy in, was that his approach had to mesh with the captain, had to mesh with the superstar player, had to mesh with the recognized leaders of the group. And that goes beyond Alex, but just first and foremost with Alex, you know, he flew to Russia. He was there to be there to personally make that point to Alex Ovechkin. And I think Ovechkin recognized that this man had the very best intentions for the team, for the organization, to build and repair and put together a family atmosphere that everybody was, in Barry's words, going to pull the rope together. Well, the first guy pulling the rope has to be number eight. You have to make that great impression upon him. He did. It took time. There were some rough patches. Anywhere you look, anywhere you read, anyone to whom you speak who's close enough to it knows that Barry and Alex had some abrasive moments, but those were all, excuse me, smoothed over by the time the Caps were Cup winners and throughout, where they were in unison together. Their opinions matched, and Alex was able to deliver that message from a leadership group to the team, and that's coming as a direct extension of Barry.
Why has Alex seemingly slowed down a little bit the last couple of weeks? Just inevitable?
I think the whole group has, JP. I think they, you know, it could be a stretch right now where you're looking at it, you know, there's that expression, dog days. I buy into some degree, but, you know, you're too far away from the playoffs. You can see them, but they're still too far. You're just past the midway mark, and this team's played an awful lot of hockey, and I'm not going to start blaming the schedule, but the schedule hasn't done them any favors. They were, you know, they did not look competitive at times against Nashville, and that was three games in four nights. There were also instances in that Nashville game where I thought they had brilliant line shifts, incredibly dominating shifts, didn't get rewarded for it per se, either didn't hit the net or probably hit the frame. They hit three goalposts in the second period, but that doesn't matter. They were beaten soundly in Nashville, and they looked a bit sluggish. And that can start with Alex, who's playing a lot of minutes. Todd Reardon's had him, you know, in that 20-21 minute per game this season, and that's, I think, where Alex flourishes. But it wouldn't surprise me if this whole group is a little bit tired and can see that break ahead. So that's where we started. I think they're going to focus on the games between now and then, and you know, they'll try to rip off all those games as victories, but they'll set the mini goal as to being on a winning tear by the time they get into that break where they can put their feet up a little bit.
Joe Copley has overall been good, but has not been solid in the last two games where he's allowed 11 goals. Is that just a blip? Is it kind of like the midseason malaise setting in with Copley, or just the fact that they were back-to-back games, he was forced into action after Holtby goes out in the Columbus game where he got poked in the eye with a stick?
Yeah, that's a tough assignment. And if I read Todd Reardon's comments as true, and he's got no reason to twist things, they were firmly expecting that Braden was going to be well enough to go in the Nashville game. They thought giving him that extra night or giving him the home game off against the Blues was going to get them through, and it did turn out that way. Phoenix has to become a spot starter, but Phoenix prepares. I think every NHL goalie prepares during the day as if they are the guy. You have to be ready at a moment's notice, but I don't think Phoenix played poorly, per se, against Nashville. Again, I hate that matchup. I think the Predators are a wonderful team. I want nothing to do with them in the Stanley Cup Finals. Should the Caps have a chance to rematch, to repeat, I do not want Nashville to be standing in their way. I just don't like the matchup. Copley has been, I think, overall, for what they had expected, outstanding. He's given them what they could want and then some. He's given them every opportunity to sit there and go, hey, Braden needs a night off. We're not worried.
I've been harping on this schedule thing for the Islanders. I'm probably going to look stupid after tonight, but this is going to be the Isles' fifth game in seven nights, okay? And they played last night, as you mentioned, a home game against New Jersey. I assume they traveled after the game. If they did, they got to sleep late. Do you have any idea who's going to be in net? Is it Leonard or Grice? I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing those right, but who do you think is going to play goalie tonight?
You got them right, Bish, and I think, you know, Leonard's been spectacular for them. He didn't play in the first meeting. I normally, you know, judging by NHL standards, they'll come back with Grice this evening, and Grice was the goalie of record when the Caps beat the Islanders back in late November. It was one of Washington's finer games on the road. They've been a really good road team, the Caps, and they put one of their best performances in Brooklyn that night. I think it'll be Grice. You're exactly right. They travel after the game. They played an extremely hard game last night. Any Barry Trotz team is going to play with a lot of energy and effort and gumption. And what they've done and what Barry has again brought to an organization is a defensive consciousness. This is the team that's allowed the fewest goals in the NHL. And you sit there, no way, the Islanders have the best goals against average in the league. Mm. And it's not by mistake that Barry Trotz is now pushing the buttons there, and Lane Lambert's with him, and Mitch Korn is the goalie consultant, yada, yada, yada. You've heard these things. And this is the measure, this is what Barry brings to an organization at the beginning. And they are tired, I'm sure they are. Washington has the fresh tired advantage in this game, similar to the way Nashville had the fresh tired advantage in the game that they romped over the Caps recently. I hope it'll turn out as well for Washington, but this Islanders team is playing extremely well right now, Bish. I want to say they've won 13 of 16.
Mm-hmm. They are rolling. Yep.
They can do it at both ends, and all of a sudden they're right there with a chance to pass the Capitals in the standings. The Metro is going to be one whale of a race down the stretch.
They've only lost two games since Christmas.
Yeah, Joe,
that's how well they do.
About right.
I wanted
to
touch on the Metro being bunched up at the top. You've got Columbus and the Caps both with 59, the Islanders 1 point back, and Pittsburgh at 56. Is there a team that's below them that could kind of jump into the fray and make it a five-team race, or is it pretty much it's going to be these top four battling it out the rest of the way?
Cakes, I like those four. I don't have any disrespect for Carolina or the Rangers, but I like those four that you mentioned. And those four have all had long, extended periods where they've been extremely good and have bunched their way up into the standings in the Metro. The Caps had a wonderful run there, built themselves up a little bit of a buffer because they've suffered, you know, I think they've lost, what is it, five of the last eight or six of the last nine, something along those lines. But they had such a buffer because they were rolling for a stretch there. They won 16 of 20. That gave them a little bit of a cushion. Pittsburgh, all of a sudden gets hot, rips off eight or nine in a row. The Islanders, Columbus, all of those teams have had extended winning roles. They deserve to be in the top four in that bracket, and they're going to start beating on each other down the stretch. It's going to be a great race. It starts with this one tonight. I think stylistically, I like the way Washington matches up against the Islanders. Now, this is, again, a New York team that's playing really, really well. Wasn't necessarily playing so well back in November after Thanksgiving when the Caps beat them. Let's see how much the Islanders have improved tonight.
Joe, I want to let the Caps fans out there listening know that you'll be hosting a viewing party next Wednesday, the 23rd, at the Palm in D.C. for Caps Maple Leafs. So nice. Not only do you bring us entertainment and joy every night that you're calling Caps games on NBC Sports Washington, you're going to be doing it in person at the Palm in D.C. next Wednesday. So people
There are some really good things coming up in the next couple of months, and the Palm's been fantastic, both in D.C. and in Tyson's Corner. They've been great to us. So we'll do viewing parties on the occasions where Locker and Al and I are not involved with the broadcast. We'll do some viewing parties. We'll have some of those wine series dinners coming up as well, so people should be on the lookout for those. But I love getting the chance to shake hands, to meet Caps fans, and watch a really good game. That game in Toronto is going to be special.
All right, just to kind of recap, do you expect
this is such a gambling question.
Hold on, do you expect Braden to be in net tonight, or is it going to be Copley?
I wish I could tell you. I'm on my way to MedStar Capital's Iceplex right now.
I think it's dicey.
Braden's words yesterday were, "We'll see." Right, okay. We'll see tomorrow, and there's no pun intended there. It's an eye injury, and it's a very delicate one. And obviously goalies need supreme vision, and anybody who knows Braden's quirks through the years, you know how much he values the ability to track the puck, sight, all those gyrations that he goes through pregame. If he doesn't feel he's 100%, he's going to feel like he's a detriment to the team. He won't play. We're going to find that out in a couple hours.
My eyes are going crazy.
All right.
No help for you there, Lurch.
No, but I will text you.
Yes. Yes, you should.
All right, Joe B.
Bish, I know exactly where you're leaning. I wish I could help you. I don't know yet.
No, but it's a vital piece of information, so I will text you later today.
Of course it is. All right.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it, buddy.
Guys, my pleasure. Anytime. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too, pal.
Jason really wants to bet on the Caps.
He does.
And he really wants the weather to be super cold.
But you know what?
The last report I saw,
it's going to be 48 degrees at kickoff.
Right.
The temp just keeps skyrocketing.
I've literally never met anyone who's so consumed with an angle on any game. Just give me an angle on any game.
This is big. I mean, 'cause I'd like the Caps anyway, but. You know, I like the Caps better if Braden's involved.
I think you like weather more than Doug Kammerer, Sue Palka.
All combined.
Doug Hill rolled up into one. Yeah. Somehow
Doug
you do.
Hill.
All right, all those people.
Where's Doug Hill?
At I don't know. 9:20.
He's not here anymore.
Dave Paulson, head coach George Mason, is going to join us coming up at 9:20. Skippy at 9:45. Keep it here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.